Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, toward the end of the New Testament. It's on page number 1874 in your pew Bibles, I believe, if you want to turn to it there. Also, you may want to pull out a blue sermon notes outline. Check that out, and it has fill in the blanks so you can follow along. And we are actually going to be moving through that fairly fast today. So, Joy, if you're clicking back there, it'll be a race. I'll see who gets there first. Okay. Anyhow, listen as I read from Hebrews chapter 11, the first 7 verses. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke and when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned of the things about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Faith is essential to life, having faith in Jesus Christ and the living God is critical, is crucial as we face all of the challenges of life. And this verse, verse 6 in the passage I just read, is so striking. It captures my attention. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. No matter what we do, no matter what we say, if it's not driven by real, essential faith, it's not pleasing to God. Therefore, it's essential that we understand what faith is and how we get faith. Faith, according to the scriptures, is a triad, part of a triad of essential Christian virtues: faith, hope, and love, the greatest of which is love, 1 Corinthians 13. Faith is essential to our salvation. Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. Faith is essential to our peace with God. Romans 5:1, since we are justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And faith is essential to our daily living. Trusting in the midst of all the challenges, all the struggles, all the trials, the storms and disappointments of our lives, as we've been talking about in the last couple days, in the last couple Sundays, I mean, as we've considered anchor points, anchoring our lives by faith in the solid rock, Jesus Christ, no matter what storms blow our way. Faith is essential for our witness as Christians in a fractured nation. Faith is essential to the future of our church as we vision the future in trusting the Lord. Essential for launching new ministries like our Mustard Seed Preschool that we have proposed and are hoping to launch shortly. Matthew chapter 17 verse 20 says, if you have the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. Little faith can do great things coupled with the power of God. So faith, essential faith, is critical for us today. And the essence of this faith, in other words, the meaning of faith or a definition of faith, is given us here in Hebrews chapter 11. Often called the faith chapter, Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith, according to the King James version of that verse, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. That word substance, think about this. Substance, substantial, right? Hebrew word that is, or the Greek word that's used is hypostasis. Something is static or in a state of standing still. Okay? Literally, that word means to stand under or support the foundation of our belief. This faith is the substantial, solid rock basis, not some vague wish, but the foundation for what we believe and what we do. The Message translation by Eugene Peterson says it this way in verse 1 of Hebrews 11. The fundamental act of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we cannot see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. And so here in this chapter, here in this passage, we have the great hall of faith. Not the hall of fame, but the hall of faith. The heroes down through the ages, all through the scriptures from the beginning of the Old Testament till now. And this morning I want to focus quickly on the first three of these heroes of faith and thus begin a sermon series that I will be continuing throughout the month of October as we build up towards November stewardship campaign. We need faith. We need strong faith. We need essential faith for what we're looking to do here. Faith defined and displayed. Faith made Abel worship God, first of all, in verse 4 of what I read. You remember the story of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, the first two sons of Adam and Eve. Now, they weren't exactly in competition, although it probably was an example of the first human sibling rivalry. I don't know about you and your brother or sister. Sometimes you can be in a sibling rivalry. That's not the point. Actually, if you go back to the story in Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, it says that, now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil and offered them to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. The contrast here in Genesis is not so much the difference between plant life offerings or animal sacrifices. We're talking about worship. Old Testament worship was in what you brought. But you see, the motivation and the attitude is so all important in worship as we gather here this morning. As we come, Cain's heart revealed his reaction of anger and jealousy in contrast to Abel. The contrast of careless, thoughtless offerings versus choice, generous fat offerings. As you read closely in that passage, Abel's heart of worship is revealed as his praising God is pleasing to God. God sees the heart. And by faith, Hebrews 11:4 says, Abel offered God the better sacrifice. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man, and God spoke well of his offerings, of his worship. Abel's heart of faith was displayed in worship. Is your faith reflected or displayed in your worship as we come together this morning? Faith-filled worship is what worship needs to be. Our worship, is it full of faith? Is it spiritually authentic and real? Is our worship motivated by our faith? Or is it driven by deadening duty? Or is our worship expressing our grounded convictions in God's Word? Or simply hollow traditions? There's nothing wrong with traditions. But if they're not faith-filled, they're hollow. If we have faith because God is always faithful. Praise Him. Worship Him. We have trust because God is totally trustworthy. Praise Him. Worship Him. We can depend on Him because He is utterly dependable. Praise Him. Worship Him. We can rely on God because God is virtually reliable. Praise Him. Worship Him. That's what we're here to do. Faith-filled worship, the first fruits of our time, our talents, and our treasure as we gather on Sunday mornings or any time, like Abel. Not stale leftovers, but choice selections of our energy, our time, and our affections. Faith made Abel worship God in a way that pleased God and showed his faith. Faith also made Enoch walk with God. Somebody told me this week, I don't remember who, but somebody said that they had a grandson named Enoch. And who's Enoch? You know, where does that come from? It sounds like the Bible. Well, here it is. In Genesis chapter 5 and here in Hebrews chapter 11, we have a reference to Enoch. By faith, Enoch was commended as one who pleased God. Back in the Genesis accounts, in Genesis 5, it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And some of you may remember that Methuselah was the oldest man on record that ever lived. He lived to be 969. And yes, I believe back in those days, people lived longer for whatever reason. But anyhow, after, it says in Genesis 5, after Enoch became father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was no more because God took him away. Enoch walked with God. His walk with God showed. By the way, the word used here in this passage of Hebrew in Genesis emphasizes a close, continual fellowship, walking together, connected conversations, deepening intimacy, walking together, walking with God. If you go up on the boardwalk, wherever you go on the boardwalk, there's lots of people walking, and they're in proximity, but they're not necessarily walking together, right? There's a difference between just walking around. Walking together involves agreement. It involves going the same direction. In our case, it involves choosing to go God's way in fellowship as we walk with God. It's more than just talking about God, talking the talk about Him. It means walking the walk. Now, it's interesting that Enoch didn't always walk with God. For 65 years, it says in that chapter, when Enoch became the father of Methuselah, then, it says, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Who knows what made the change in his life? We're not told. perhaps becoming a parent for many of us. Becoming a parent impacts our faith and our relationship with God. Walk closer to Him as we have to trust Him for our children and our children's need, more faith. I see this happen in a lot of parents' lives as they bring their kids for baptism. That reignites their walk with God. Point is that Enoch was in fellowship with God for the rest of his life. And then God took him away. Wow, what's that about? Enoch, one of two people in all of the scriptural record that God translated, they didn't die according to the Bible. The other was Elijah, the only two that we have on record. Why did God choose to take them, translate them, so to speak, without death? We don't know. We don't know why. Perhaps because he was a righteous man in the days before Noah, before this, were totally evil, before the flood. The point is, Enoch walked with God. Do you walk with God day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour? Are you walking with Him now? Does your faith show in your daily relationship with God, in your prayer life, in your fellowship with Him, in your worship? Now, in the Old Testament, it also says that Noah walked with God. But I want to focus on Noah and his work for God. Noah, it says, by faith. Noah's work of faith, as he built the ark, collected the animals two by two of every kind. Noah built an ark because he believed God had told him to do so. Because God had told him to do so. Every tree he felled shouted faith. Every board he sawed shouted faith. Every swing of his hammer shouted faith. Every seam to which he applied the pitch shouted faith. Do your works reflect your faith? Faith will make us work, just like the United Methodist women in testimony today. Their work for the Lord is a reflection of their faith. And so it was with Noah. Only his steadfast belief in God kept Noah faithful for 120 years of cutting down trees and planning construction of the ark. It took him 120 years, according to the Bible, to build that boat. Noah's faith was shown in his faithful obedience, believing the promise from his covenant God. Does what you do show your faith? Noah's work and his witness of faith showed up. Noah's witness to the society, in the midst of the contrast of the society, the story of Noah's generation was a story of degeneration in humanity into sin. Genesis 6:5 says, "The wickedness of man was great. Every intent and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." Imagine the scene as Noah is being faithful to what God told him to do. He builds this ship 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 85 feet high. That means it's nearly 1.5 times the length of a football field and more than 4 stories high. It could hardly be hid from the ridicule of the scoffing, of the mocking and jeering of those of Noah's day as he faced on a daily basis. 100 miles from any ocean and far too big to move. What's up with that, Noah? What are you doing? The majority of people simply refused to believe Noah's witness about the coming flood. Yet in faith, he went on working, went on witnessing, building the ark, and warning of the coming judgment. Then his final act of faith and his saving his family as they stepped into the ark and closed the door. This morning, the question is, Has faith begun in your life? Is faith the defining factor in your life? Is your faith displayed in your life, in your worship, in your walk, in your witness? Do you hope for the condemnation of our Lord God as He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? I hope so. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to look into Your Word and for Your Word to look into us. We pray that You would continue to fill us with faith, this gift, this great gift that enables us to walk by faith, not by sight in this world. Continue to help us to fix our full focus on Christ, especially as we commune now in Jesus' name. Amen.